The Bible actually tells us that there's a war coming that's going to kill 2 billion human beings.
Define marriage.
I believe that marriage is the union between a man and a woman. But I do believe in civil unions.
Hamas has said clearly and publicly that they are not going to continue the truce, and the same day they attacked Israel.
When the confirmation of the covenant occurs, it marks the beginning of the final 7 years to Armageddon.
Today is Friday Open Lines. Give us a call right now, 1-877-END-TIME.
Look, there are two things I don't discuss, politics and religion.
In my house, we don't talk about politics and we don't talk about religion.
I'll talk to you about anything except politics and religion.
I never talk about politics and religion.
Politics determines how we'll live here on Earth. Religion determines how we'll live forever. I'm Irvin Baxter. I think it's time we talk about it.
Well, it is open line today, so that means this is your day. The number to call, 877-END-TIME. That's 877-363-8463. If you'd like to be on the air with us, it's been a great week here at Politics and Religion. While you're dialing, allow me to quickly recap some of the stories of the week that are of high significance, in my opinion. First of all, On Monday, we talked about the fact that the 5+1 powers would be meeting with Iran. And at the time, the news said on Friday that would be today. However, it's been postponed until tomorrow, probably to avoid the Muslim Sabbath or whatever they call it on Friday, the Muslim holy day that's normally on Friday. So those talks are scheduled to begin tomorrow. A lot of speculation throughout this particular week has swirled around those talks. President Obama says that this is the last chance to settle this conflict diplomatically, that the next step will be military action. The reports have come out throughout the week that President Obama apparently asked Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel to avoid any attack on Iran until after the presidential election in November, but Netanyahu replied that won't be possible because by then Iran would enjoy immunity from attack. They will have moved enough of their facilities underground by then. And consequently, if progress is not made in these talks, that Israel would not be able to wait until then. And that seems to be repeated from several angles. Now, what ultimately happens, I cannot tell you. On Tuesday, we talked about a new microchip that can actually, they're planning on putting in phones, and it can actually locate a person within inches of where they are and is so sensitive that they can even tell if you're in a building, which floor of the building that you're on. So that's something to look forward to. Of course, we're moving ever closer to a total surveillance society, tracking everything, everywhere. It's almost overwhelming, but we don't have to accept it. We do not have to accept it. There are ways to thwart it. There are ways to prohibit us from going into this kind of a glass house world where we'll all actually be prisoners to the powers that be. And then we also know that Mahmoud Abbas sent a letter to Netanyahu, or at least will be sending very shortly a letter to Netanyahu, putting down on paper the position of the Palestinians, saying if this letter is not responded to positively, that the Palestinians will go back to the United Nations and ask once again for a granting of statehood. Netanyahu has responded by saying, we are going to offer in response to that for Abbas and myself to sit down face-to-face. We will get rid of all intermediaries, and he and I can sit down face-to-face. And if he will do that, we can reach an agreement. So that could be a really interesting development. We'll see what actually happens as time goes on. Then finally, as we approach the talks with Iran, which are scheduled to begin tomorrow. Now, Iran has said that they, you know, when they are pressed to get rid of their nuclear facilities and their nuclear program, they say that they are going to offer, if the world community will pressure Israel to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and also to sign the additional protocol, which would give the UN right to inspect any of their facilities at any time, that if Israel will sign that, that Iran will also sign that. One of the big complaints about Iran is that not only is it rumored that they are continuing to move toward nuclear weaponry, but that when the IAEA wants to go in to inspect, many times they are denied and then only allowed to come a month later after they've had a chance to scrub the place and to clean it of anything that might be incriminating. Well, Iran says if Israel will sign the NPT and also the additional protocol, then we will do the same. Now, what's happening is, of course, they are appealing to President Obama's goal of having a nuclear-free Middle East. Israel has nuclear weapons, everybody believes. Israel does not deny nor confirm. It is believed that Israel has between 200 and 400 nuclear weapons sitting on launching pads, but they say they will never use it unless their existence is threatened. So, and then Israel, in replying to Iran, says, look, we've never threatened to wipe you off the map, or we've never said that you should be wiped off the map, and yet President Ahmadinejad has said that repeatedly about Israel. That's the reason we cannot countenance you having nuclear weaponry. So that's all been going on this week. A lot of other things are happening. We'll bring up as time goes along. However, it's your time. It is your day. And so let's go now to the phones. Jeremy is calling in from Kansas. Hello, Jeremy. You're on the air.
Hello, Reverend Paxton. Wonderful to talk to you today.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I just had a question about Revelation 9:6, where it talks about the people seeking death and death eludes them. I wonder if you could shed any light on that scripture about if it's figurative or what exactly they're talking about there.
Well, I'm not absolutely sure, Jeremy. I do believe that this fifth trumpet prophecy is speaking of the war of 1991 when President Bush Sr. went against Saddam Hussein, because it says that the bottomless pit was open, that the smoke came out of the pit, darkened the sky and the sun, and that did happen. The sky and the sun was not seen for over 3 months in Kuwait when Saddam Hussein was being forced to withdraw. It goes on to say that the person who did that, the king over them, was named the Destroyer, and the name Saddam means destroyer in Arabic. So I do believe this is referring to the Gulf crisis. So the question then arises, how could this then possibly relate to that particular crisis? I do know this. They had what's called the Gulf Syndrome. I'm not sure I'm saying that right, but I think I am saying it right. Anyway, there was the Gulf Syndrome, and a lot of our soldiers were very ill for a long time, and I happened to have one of them in my church in Richmond, Indiana, when I pastored there. He ultimately died of Gulf War Syndrome. For a long time, the government denied it even existed. I know this particular man, they eventually offered to pay his parents $8,000, and they were so upset they wouldn't even accept the money. It was such a pittance. So consequently, I was quite familiar with the Gulf War Syndrome that actually did take place there. A lot of people think it was from depleted uranium weaponry that was used during that war. So that's a theory. I would not be willing to debate that because I'm not sure I can prove that conclusively, but that's the closest I've come to some kind of a plausible explanation for that.
Okay, very good. Thank you, sir. Appreciate
it. Okay, thank you very much. You know, in some of these prophecies, we may have four elements to the prophecy, and three out of the four are like slam dunk. It's very simple. This is what it means. Then you may have a fourth one, and you say, well, I'm not sure what that means, But do I take something that I can't prove one way or the other and disannul the other three slam dunk proofs? I personally think sometimes God leaves a little element of faith in there when you have enough proof to show that it fits like a hand in glove, and yet you've still got one element maybe you can't fully explain. That's where we have to just say, okay, this is what I think it is, and then whatever. Okay, let's go down to Washington. Mary Ellen is calling from Washington. Hello, Mary Ellen.
Hi. I've listened to you talk about same-sex marriage, and so I wanted to put it out there that Seattle, you know, they passed a law in Washington State for same-sex marriage, and they are busing people to our city council meeting on Monday night. And so we need to take a stand against that same-sex marriage. And I just appreciate the way you put it out there, how that we love them, but not what they do. And whatever you can do to help out, I'd appreciate it.
Mary Ellen, let me ask you now. Washington, has Washington actually legitimatized same-sex marriage, or is it still illegal for same-sex couples to marry in Washington?
Well, the governor passed a law saying it was legal, and there's petitions being put out to get signatures so that we, the people, can vote on it, but we have to come up with, you know, I've heard 150,000 and I've heard 300,000 votes so that we can get it on ballot, but they're coming to Spokane to pass some kind of law in our city come Monday.
Well, you know, the people who favor same-sex marriage know that the majority of Americans are against it, even though they put out propaganda to the contrary.
Right.
But so far, it's gone on ballot, so the people actually got to vote in either 30 or 31 states, and every single time, 31 out of 31, whichever the case may be, it has been voted down, and most of the time by huge margins. So what they've done, they've tried to pass all this without it getting to the people. They try to prevent the people from having a say, and the only way you can get a say is to get a special issue on the ballot. And you do that by collecting a certain number of signatures that forces it to be on the ballot. And this has been done over and over again. It was done in California. It was done in many other places. And even California ended up voting same-sex marriage down when they had the chance to vote. So that's what you're facing right now. Let me ask you this, Mary Ellen. How would people, if they live in the Washington state, where would they go to sign up against, to put this on the ballot? Is there a place they can go to sign?
Well, I don't know for sure, but hang on a second. But I know that I had went to Olympia when they were pushing that through, and they have a really good con game they play. A couple people that are homosexual had kids, and they took and wasted all the time that, you know, we could talk about it, you know, going for same-sex marriage, and then when the opposite side wanted to say something, there wasn't much time left. Here is a phone number, 425-290-2838. Information at projectmarriagewa.com.
Okay, I tell you what, give me that phone number one more time, would you please?
Okay, 425-290-2838. And that's a ballot. I mean, that's where how they can get ballots even to collect the signatures.
I'll tell you what, hang on and let our call screener get that website for me as well, Mary Ellen. We're up against the break. Thank you so much.
So many people are searching for the truth, someone or something to trust, worship, and depend on, someone to fill that void inside. The Bible prophesies that there will be two individuals that will rule over a world government system just before the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus Christ. They will convince the world to believe the lie of the Antichrist. Prepare yourself to avoid this evil trap. Call 1-800-END-TIME for your copy of The Antichrist and the False Prophet today.
Just another reason to love mobile streaming. Watch Politics and Religion on your iDevice or your Android Monday through Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time. It's so easy and convenient. How did we ever live without technology? Go to endtime.com/radio and follow the instructions. That's endtime.com/radio to join Urban Baxter on politics and religion. Call 1-800-END-TIME for more information. That's 1-800-363-8463.
The world will end this December. There are actually millions of people that still believe this. Some believe Planet X will collide with the Earth. Others say a polar shift will take place, causing a global catastrophe. The question we should be concerned with is, what does the Bible say? Get Irvin Baxter's DVD, 2012 in Bible Prophecy, today. He teaches in great detail what is really going on with 2012 and what you need to be ready. Irvin's personal opinion is, well, I better let you hear it straight from him. Call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463 and get your copy right now. Or go to endtime.com.
Now to Missouri. Kevin is calling from Missouri. Hello, Kevin. You're on Politics and Religion.
Hello. You were talking about the Mark of the Beast on Tuesday, I think.
Yes.
And it just hit me. John the Revelator, you know, he explained the wasp and the sting of the tails and all that, and you think it's like helicopters and airplanes because they're painted up like animals, and, I mean, I agree with you on that.
Yes.
And when you were talking about the Mark of the Beast, it hit me that he had never seen a cell phone or a Bluetooth device in your ear, and maybe he's seen that. People were just scanning those to pay for things and stuff like that, and so he just explained it like maybe, you know, the only way he knew how. I'm not saying a cell phone or the Bluetooth deal is, it's because you're still going to have to make a choice if that's how you're going to pay for something or not. But just your thoughts on maybe if that's what he saw, just a thought. I'll just hang up and let you respond. I'll listen to you on the radio so you can get more people on.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Kevin. Appreciate the phone call so very much. You know, I seriously doubt that a cell phone is going to end up being the mark of the beast. However, the technology that has been employed all around us is leading our society straight into the implementation of the mark of the beast. I don't know exactly how it's going to be implemented. We know that the next step that's already been taken in Japan and other countries is that you can pay for anything anywhere with your cell phone. You can unlock your doors. Your cell phone actually can now become your remote for control for your screens, whatever you may be employing there. And it can be used to buy a candy bar, a Diet Coke, whatever you want to purchase. You can actually do it with your phone in most all of Japan, I understand. It's just now getting ready to come here to the United States of America. So, but remember, the Mark of the Beast has to have a worship component of some sort. It's not the technology that will be the Mark of the Beast. It's the use of the technology to enforce the Mark of the Beast. That's the big deal. They're going to, in some way, they're going to put all of us under economic pressure and say, you won't be able to participate in the economy unless you take a certain pledge of allegiance. The Bible calls it worship, whether it's a pledge of allegiance or what it is. But nevertheless, except you worship the beast or his image, and that could even mean the world governmental system, worship the world government that will be set up before too much longer. So I don't think it's going to be the cell phone, but the cell phone is certainly getting all of us conditioned mentally to use these types of devices. Could it ultimately be implanted? Could they reach a technological place where this could be implanted at birth, stay with you all of your life, in your hand or in your forehead? I don't know. Or could it simply mean you have a national ID card in your hand or have the number memorized in your head? Or could it be? Now, this is the one that's really eerie to me, and that is that the two most popular biometric identifiers is fingerprint, that's on my hand, or my eye scan, that's in my forehead. the scanning of the retina of the eye, or the fingerprint. Those are two of the favorite biometric measurements. And if you have both of those things, then it becomes quite accurate that they will be able to tell you are who you are. So I don't know how it's going to be done, but I know this one thing. In order for this to work for you, to be activated, it'll probably have to be marked in a national database or a global database that you are a good guy, that you have pledged to the New World Order, perhaps that you have ascribed to a global creed or a global ethic. There's already a global ethic been written by Dr. Hans Kung. He's a Catholic professor at Tübingen University. He was a professor and a good friend with the present Pope, Cardinal Ratzinger, who's now Benedict XVI. I don't know how it's going to be done, but nevertheless, we know it's coming. I mean, it's getting so obvious. It's in front. It's in our face every single place. I want to go now to Washington. We have an interesting caller on the phone here. His name is Darren. Hello, Darren. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'd like to give the ministry $10,000.
Well, that sounds good.
If you can quote me the chapter, the book, chapter, and verse of the following scriptures.
Okay.
Okay, the first one would be an example. It's not one of the three, but anyway, there you go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You would say it's where?
Well, that's John 3:16.
That's correct. Okay, let's go. Let's play. Okay, these three verses are, and you have to name all three in order to get to $10,000, okay?
All right.
Okay. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You would say it's from where?
That's Daniel 11:32.
That's correct. Two more. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon thee whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his son, only son, and shall be in bitterness of him for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. You would say that's where?
That's Zechariah 12:10.
Okay, last one. If you can get this, you can have $10,000. Jesus answered and said to them, and these are verses that you quote constantly, so you should know these. Jesus answered and said to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
That's John 3:3.
I don't think so.
He says it twice. He says it in John 3:3 and John 3:5.
Why don't you quote to me John 3:3?
And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, how can I be enter my mother's womb the second time and be born? He said, Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, which is born of spirit is spirit. But I verily say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So he took John 3:5 to explain what he said in John 3:3.
Well, I gave you a direct quote. So Jesus said, answered saying to him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
And that would be John 3:3.
That's right. And I gave you a quote, he cannot enter.
Okay, well, then that would be John 3:5.
Nope. It says, if born of the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.
Yeah, isn't that John 3:5?
Yep, but I did not quote John 3:5.
Which one did you quote?
I didn't quote anything.
Oh, gotcha. All right, well, this is a gotcha question, but anyway.
Now, did I trick you or did you trick yourself?
I'm not sure, Darren. You tell me.
You quote constantly, Jesus said unto the tenth and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, they cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus never said this.
Okay, well, I'm going there right now. Let's see exactly what he said.
Exactly what he said, yes. John 3:3.
John 3:3, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in John 3:5, he said, except a man be born again of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So okay. He did say enter in John 3:5. He did not say enter in John 3:3.
we have to be born of water and spirit to enter the kingdom of God.
That's correct.
He said, if you are born again, you cannot. Let me explain it this way. If you are born again, you can see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. This is exactly what it means.
Yeah, that's of course true.
Okay,
well.
Wait, I got something else to say. Now, you say there are 7 years, not 7 years of tribulation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That there are only 3.5 years of tribulation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I can assemble 100 or more preachers and pastors and all their assemblies, and they can tell me, yeah, there's 7 years of tribulation. Of course there's 7 years of tribulation.
Okay, can they give you a scripture?
Nope.
No scripture.
But I can assemble 100 preachers or pastors in their congregations. They can tell me that they believe in the 7 years of tribulation.
Right. There, you can get a lot more than 100. You can probably get several thousand, frankly, Darren.
That's right. But they're incorrect. Is that correct?
That would be right. They're incorrect.
Okay. What I'm going to share with you will be very controversial, but it's straight from the Bible. Please go to 1 Samuel 2:6 and read that. 1 Samuel 2:6.
Okay, we got to hurry here because we got a bunch of people. You say 1 Samuel 2:6?
Yes. Read that for me.
The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up.
I read Job 3:3, 29, 30.
How long is this going to go on here? Because I do have a lot of other people in line, Darren, for you.
This is the last verse. Job 3:3, 29, 30.
Job 33. Job 33:29. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living.
And 30.
I did read that.
Okay. So it seems like you're advocating reincarnation. From what you just read.
Well, actually, I believe in resurrection, but I don't believe in reincarnation. I believe in resurrection, yes. Hey, listen, Darren, did I get the 10,000 or not?
Nope.
Okay, well, I sure appreciate the try. I was pretty close, wasn't I?
Very close, but close isn't good enough.
Yeah, I appreciate it very much. Thank you for calling. I got to move on to my next caller now. Appreciate it so very much. And by the way, I could have cheated because I could have looked those scriptures up on my computer, but that wouldn't be the right thing to do, and I would have probably got it exactly. Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. We sure appreciate the phone call. Let's continue. Do I have time for one more? Let me see. I'm afraid we don't. All of you that are on hold, stay right there. I'll get right back to you, and because I don't want you to be left out here. We've got plenty of time for you, so stay right there. In the meantime, I need to tell all of you in the Washington area that we will be in Spokane, Washington, tomorrow night at 6 p.m. The meeting is at the Red Lion Hotel at the park, 303 West North River Drive in Spokane, Washington. So be there with us, Red Lion Hotel at the park, 303 West North River Drive, 6 o'clock. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be talking about what's happening right now in the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back. You're listening to Politics and Religion.
Adolf Hitler said Germany will either be a world power or it will not be at all. In the new edition of End Time magazine, you'll find an amazing, thought-provoking article by Dave Robbins entitled, Is Germany Rising Again? We are now living in a German-dominated Europe, says Nigel Farage of the European Parliament. Many nations are looking to Germany for deliverance from their financial pressures. Could this be the beginning of the fourth and final Reich prophesied in Daniel chapter 7? Irvin Baxter also covers many prophecies that could be just ahead of us in 2012. To get your copy of the newest issue of End Time Magazine, or to sign up for a subscription today, call 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
We are living in a mobile world. You can almost do anything, anywhere, at any time from your mobile device. We introduce to you an exciting new option when making a donation to End Time Ministries. Simply send the word End Time to 37284 in a text. That's ENDTIME to the number 37284. Seconds later, you'll receive a link to donate right from your mobile phone. Select the link, enter the amount you wish to give, and you're finished. It's that easy. No paper, no hassle, and it's completely safe. Grab your phone and text End Time to 37284 and donate today.
It is Open Line here at Politics and Religion, and interesting calls so far today. Let's continue on, and let's go now to Michael calling from Indiana. Hello, Michael.
I just wanted to comment about a bill that Senator Richard Lugar is trying to pass before the NATO summit. It's the H.R. 4243. It's about the strengthening of the NATO alliance, and this is a bill they're Richard Lugar's hoping to get through, and I've corresponded with Senator Richard Lugar about 4, 5, 6 years, and I just thought it's really important. And also a real burden on my heart is 1 John chapter 4, 1 through 3, about the churches, the Christian churches, trying the spirits, and not just taking for granted that someone's a Christian just because they profess it. They're really to prove and to see the fruits of a Christian life, that we as Christians just not take it for granted. Everyone that comes to church or is at church is a Christian, and to try and win their soul. But my heart urges me just to say that we should try the spirits as a Christian. I just hope you'd comment on that scripture for me. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much. The Bible is very clear that there would be many wolves in sheep's clothing that would come, especially in these last times. I think it was Jesus that said in Matthew 24, when the disciples asked him, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? The very first thing Jesus said was, take heed that no man deceive you. Deception is going to be a real danger in the end time. He said, for many shall come in my name. They're going to come in the name of Christ. They're going to come under the banner of Christianity and shall deceive many. The Bible is explicitly clear that most of Christianity is going to be in such a state of apostasy that it will align itself with the Antichrist himself. The kingdom of the Antichrist will be a coalition between politics and religion. It will be a coalition between the religion component is going to be dominated by so-called Christianity, not by true Christianity, but by so-called Christianity. And that's what makes it so incredibly deceptive. And by the way, that's the reason that we put out a DVD called True Christianity versus False Christianity. Since Jesus said that many will come in my name and deceive many, I was thinking about that. And I thought, Lord, you know, the average layperson out there, how are they going to tell the difference between true Christianity and false Christianity? And I really felt that God would have us to produce a DVD on that, which we did. Now, I will warn you, though, this is the strongest single DVD we've ever produced. I didn't hold anything back. I laid it on the table. No sugar and honey and all that. I just wanted to speak plainly from my heart. And so if you don't really love the truth, don't order this tape, because it is strong, strong meat, and it may offend you. And I don't want to offend you, but I wanted to tell the truth for those people who love the truth more than they love their denomination, more than they even love themselves. I did want to produce this, so it's out there for you. I just wanted to tell you about it. It's called True Christianity versus False Christianity, and we do need to understand these things. Thank you very much, Michael. By the way, if you would like to have that DVD, call 1-800-IN-TIME and just ask our operators for True Christianity versus False Christianity. It is part of a 3-DVD series that's called Our Salvation Package, so you may want to get all three when you call. Okay, let's get back to the phones now, and Jim is calling from Indiana. Hello, Jim.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I was watching PBS the other night, and it just really amazed me that this Zimmerman case that they're politicizing over the television and radio, and they were saying it was a black-white thing and trying to get black people excited, and they were, and I was hearing some other news that they're not talking about, where they had 40-some people in Chicago getting a gunfight and shot a 6-year-old girl. They're not even talking about that. But they're just pushing this as a black-and-white prejudice thing when the guy's Mexican. And I was wanting to hear your thoughts on that situation.
You know, Jim, I do think we need to speak on that briefly, and that is I've withheld judgment because I don't know what the facts are. And I think everyone should do that as well. A murder is a murder is a murder. Now, if this was, in fact, legitimate self-defense, that's one thing. If it is a murder, it's a murder. And it doesn't matter what color the two people involved are. I think we really do everyone a disservice by making every issue that arises a racial issue. Now, I think I understand it to a degree, because it is very embedded in the African-American, it's very embedded in the African-American psyche that, you know, race is such a humongous issue. And I understand why that would be. I mean, if I were 2 or 3 generations removed from slavery, I can understand how that would be a huge thing in a person's mind. So I'm not totally criticizing that. At the same time, I would appeal to both blacks and whites. Please don't. The Bible says, if I judge a matter before I hear it, I'm a fool. And so I think anybody that has big demonstrations, do this, do that. At the same time, the law enforcement agencies, if there is suspicion of wrong on Zimmerman's part, then he should be arrested, which he now has been. I don't know the details of the case. I don't have access to the evidence. And so I'm withholding judgment on the situation. And that's all I've got to say about it right now. I would just encourage all of us, whether white, black, or whatever race we may be, we need to get over this race thing, because God loves everyone equally. And we don't need to make every issue, because, you know, we can get blinded by our prejudice. And we can immediately side with whites or immediately side with blacks, and that's wrong. The Bible even says if you have a respecter of persons, you commit sin. And so I would just say to all of us out there, whether we're black, white, Chinese, whatever we may be, get rid of those prejudices.
It just seems like the media is trying to push stuff like that instead of trying to put out the fire. They're pouring gas on it.
Well, and that's what the media does, because if they come on with things that are just not controversial and not exciting, people turn the channel and go somewhere else. So they specialize. You know, if you have a tornado go through, they don't ever give you a picture of 2 shingles blown off, do they? They look for the worst damage possible, because that makes the news dramatic and exciting. And all of us have to be intelligent enough to know that. That's what goes on here, and they don't do us a service. But anyway, we try to resist those kinds of things here at Politics and Religion, because we think they're just plain wrong, and we're not doing anyone a service by just inflaming prejudices. Hey, I'll let you go, Jim. Thank you very much for the phone call. Let's go now quickly to Washington. Arthur is calling. Hello, Washington.
Hello.
What's on your mind, Arthur?
On the falling away.
Yes.
I'm like the caller was yesterday. I believe it has more to do with this last day, but it's not a big argument. But how would you explain to someone what is the falling away? Is it Christians falling back into sin, or is it someone that's just fell away from the faith, not using faith, going, letting faith go and using what I would call carnal-minded stuff? That's the question. Number one, if I come to Spokane tomorrow, could I talk to you face-to-face?
I will be there, and I normally hang around till everybody leaves.
Okay. I would like to talk to you about a subject, and I won't mention it right now, but I sure plan on being there. I'll say this to you again. I really appreciate your ministry, because I've believed this for 45 years now about the way you do about the rapture and a lot of things, but nobody has ever climbed to your status that's been able to get on national TV and explain this. And, man, that just makes my day. You know what I'm saying? So,
well,
I appreciate your ministry, brother.
Hey, thank you, Arthur, very much. And, by the way, all of you that come to our conferences, what I normally try to do is immediately after the meeting, I do want to shake hands with a lot of people so I can meet people. But people who want to engage in questions or conversation, I tell them, if you'll hang around till I'm done meeting people and shaking hands, then I'll talk to you. You know,
okay.
We'll be there. So that's the way I normally try
okay.
to do.
All right, that's good. Okay, I'll listen to your answer on the web, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you very much, Arthur.
Okay.
You know, the falling away. I think there's two possible answers. Number one, we do have history from the time of the Apostle Paul, the revival era that the early church enjoyed. Then, over time, spirituality declined down to the depths of the Dark Ages until it was actually against the law throughout Europe to even own a Bible. I mean, people were burned at the stake for owning Bibles. For example, William Tyndale. He translated the Bible out of Latin into the common language so that the people could read for themselves, and the established church of that day put him on trial for doing that, and they actually used the Bibles that William Tyndale had translated to set the fire. Same thing was true with John Huss and thousands of others during this time. It was truly Dark Ages. And so from the Apostle Paul's perspective, when he spoke the words about the great falling away in the first century, he foresaw the horrible Dark Age period that would come and last for 500 to 1,000 years. And then, of course, now we've climbed up. It's not nearly as dark today as it was then. Nevertheless, that does not mean that there is not an apostasy going on, because the Bible teaches during the day of the Antichrist that all will worship the Antichrist except for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible tells us that few will be saved. If you're just following the biggest crowd, you're going to end up in the wrong place. The Bible says that straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it, because broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. So if you're just looking for the most popular way, the easiest way, or whatever, you're using the wrong criteria. But that doesn't mean you can't find the truth, because Jesus said, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened. But I see so many people today, if you tell them the truth, they get offended at you because you're trying to tell them the truth. Now, I believe when we speak the truth, we should speak the truth in love, because we shouldn't, as ministers, we should not want to offend people, but we should be willing to offend them if that happens as a result of speaking the truth in love. Okay, let's go now. Let me see. Do we have time? Nope. Well, I'll get you all in the next segment, so please stay right there. I'm going as fast as I can. We are up against another break, and so we have to go to that break shortly. But let me quickly say to you one more time that I will be in Spokane, Washington tomorrow evening, and we're going to be talking about what's happening in the world right now and how it's fitting into world events. I think it's going to be critical. It may be a matter of life and death to you yet this year. And you'll understand more when you come tomorrow night. But the meeting is tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel at the Park, 303 West North River Drive in Spokane, 6 p.m. There's no charge to attend. We welcome all of you to come there, and I'll see you tomorrow night.
Hi, this is Judy Baxter. Irvin and I have been married and doing ministry for the last 47 years. In that time, I have seen the Lord guide our ministry from literally nothing to what it is today. I remember us looking at the Plain Truth magazine and Irvin telling me that one day he would have a magazine like that. I'll be honest, I did have my doubts while admiring his ambition. And today, End Time Magazine is published worldwide. The Lord is so faithful. Now Irvin shares his vision that we will get 10,000 calls per day with people that are hungry for the truth of God's Word. I just smile and say, oh no, here we go again. The fact is, all of Irvin's God-given visions wouldn't be made possible without your faithful prayer and support. And when the seventh trumpet sounds and we meet in the air, I can't wait to see all of you there. God be with you. We are blessed that you are in our life and ministry.
If you love Bible prophecy, you know there's always that one question everyone tries to figure out. You could say it's slightly a touchy subject. It's frustrating to never get an answer, especially when it's such an important topic. When does the rapture take place? Told you it was a tough one. Most prefer to go with what has always been taught. But according to the Bible, does the rapture happen before or after the tribulation? We've just released a new DVD called When Will the Rapture Happen? Irvin Baxter teaches this exciting lesson using a scriptural base and addresses questions like, God wouldn't unleash his wrath on the church, would he? Where is the church after Revelation 4:1? Does the Feast of Trumpets found in Leviticus prove that there will be a pre-tribulation rapture? And more. Call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com to get your copy today. That's 1-800-363-8463 and ask for our new DVD, When Will the Rapture Happen?
Right back to the phones. We're going now to Alabama. Sandy is calling from there. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Yes, my question is about the sixth seal. I've heard you say that you think that is the second coming of Jesus.
Yes.
I just wonder how that's possible, because the seventh seal, there's silence in heaven for 30 minutes. And the angels are given the seven trumpets to start the trumpet judgments. And Jesus coming is at the end of all that. How is it that the trumpets don't even start till after the sixth seal?
That's because the book of Revelation is not in chronological order. Like, for example, there are four accounts of the life of Jesus Christ: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, the same thing is true of the seals, the trumpets, the thunderings, and the vials. If you will read under the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial, you will read in all three of those places the exact same phrase, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and a great earthquake, and another place it says great hail. But that same phrase happens at all those times, because the seals are the long story ending at the Battle of Armageddon and the Second Coming. The trumpets are the shorter story, also ending at Armageddon, and the vials are the real short story, also ending at Armageddon. If you believe that the book of Revelation is in chronological order from chapter 1 through chapter 22, you're going to get really confused, because you get to chapter number 19 and the marriage of the Lamb hasn't even happened yet. Many people say the marriage of the Lamb happens in chapter 4, verse 1. But when you get to chapter 19, what is it about verse number 6 or 7? It says, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, for the bride hath made herself ready, and the marriage of the Lamb is come. So here we get way back in chapter 19, and we haven't even had the marriage of the bride to the bridegroom yet. So if you believe that Revelation is in chronological order, it gets horribly confusing. Plus, you have the destruction of Babylon in chapter 14, then you have it again in chapter number 16, and then you have it again in chapter 17 and 18. So anyway, I hope I'm explaining to you, Sandy, that I do not believe that the seven trumpets are contained in the seventh seal. I believe that you get to the end of the account of the seven seals in about verse number 5 or 6 of chapter 8. And then it starts over again and tells you all about the seven trumpets. And then you get finished with that in chapter number 11, verse number 15. The kings of this world become the kings of our Lord and his Christ. And then that's in chapter 11. And then chapter number 12, chapter 13, you have the world government, the final 3.5 years to begin. And then you get, it's over and over again is what I'm saying to you. So I don't know, does that help at all or not?
Well, I've discovered that it's not all chronological. But just it's saying, you know, apparently the seventh seal happens after the sixth seal.
Well, it does, and I think those are all close together. When it talks about there being 30 minutes of silence, I personally believe that that's all of heaven watching in awe the rapture of the church take place. I believe that when Jesus comes, they're watching the rapture of the church and Jesus descending on the Mount of Olives, and I think that's the reason that there's 30 minutes of silence in heaven, because they're watching all this happen. So I think those happen right back to back. They're almost simultaneous.
It's just a little confusing because the sixth seal and the seventh seal, and the seventh seal says the trumpets are given. So that leads me to believe the trumpets don't even start sounding until after the seventh seal.
Well, and again, I'm going to go there. I'm going to read this because a lot of people get confused on this point. I'm going there right now. Here's the way it actually says it. It says, and when he'd opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. This is verse 1 of chapter 8. Mm-hmm. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And, okay, that's a statement, but they haven't sounded yet. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar which are before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. Now listen to this phrase. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Okay, stop right there. The next verse says, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, we all know that these chapters and verses were divided up by men, not by God. I believe it would be much more easy to understand if the division of chapter 7 was placed between verse 5 and 6 of chapter 8, because that's when the seven angels prepare themselves to sound. So the account of the seven seals is over, and then you move into the seven trumpets. And then when you get to chapter number 11, at the end of the seven trumpets, listen to what's said again. Now this is verse, let me see. This is verse number 19, I believe, yes. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Now listen. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. It says the exact same thing again. Now let's quickly go to the seventh vial. This is in chapter number 16. And in the seventh vial, verse number 18, it says, well, let's start with verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. Verse 18, now listen. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. And then it goes on to say, and there was a great hail. So in under the seventh seal, the seventh trumpet, and the seventh vial, that phrase is repeated in each of those cases, because it is the exact same event. However, the first six seals are not exactly the same as the first six trumpets, and the first six vials are not the same as either the seals or the trumpets. But so the seals are the long story ending at Armageddon, the second coming. The trumpets are the shorter story ending at Armageddon, the second coming. And the vials are the real short story. And you know, when I started studying all this, Sandy, it was so confusing to me as a 19-year-old kid, because nothing made sense and all the commentaries were misleading me down the wrong way. And it wasn't until one day I took three different Bibles and I opened one up to Revelation chapter number 6 and one up to Revelation chapter 11 and one up to Revelation chapter 16. And I laid those, the seven seal, the seven trumpet, the seven vial side by side. And I said, this is the same thing. And that's when it clicked with me. So that's the way I see it.
Okay.
I know that's a long answer, and please forgive me for that.
That's okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm going to try to take one more call. Charles is calling from Ohio with an important question. Charles. You're on the air, Charles.
Yes, sir. I wanted to say real quick, what's wrong with Israel? Iran demanding Israel to sign that non-proliferated treaty. What's wrong with that? With them doing that? Because Israel is violating international law by not signing it.
Actually, I would probably favor every nation on earth signing it because nuclear weapons are horrible. I hate nuclear weapons. However, Israel is not violating international law until they sign it and then disobey it. There's no international law that says they have to sign it. There are many nations that have not signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty, even the United States of America, even though I don't know whether we've signed it or not, but the Senate has not ratified it. So we don't live under it right now, and we don't undergo nuclear inspections right now. So there are many nations who have not either signed or ratified it and are living under it. The reason Israel says they don't want to sign it is because they live in the middle of 42 million Arabs that have vowed to drive them into the sea. And so if they sign their nuclear weaponry away, they're so outgunned and outmanned that they would be destroyed. And so they claim they have to have this. Of course, I don't think that the nuclear weapon is their ace in the hole. I think God is their ace in the hole. But nevertheless, just to answer your question quickly, Charles, those are my thoughts.
Okay, but they violate the law because they possess nuclear weaponry. And that's what I'm trying to, that's what I'm saying, because they do have them. According to Malachi Venuto, he said he have them.
Well, I mean, they do have nuclear weapons. I am convinced, but they have not violated law. There's no law. There's no law in the world against nuclear weapons.
The tripartite law. Remember the tripartite, like the Kennedy supported, the tripartite law?
Well, now you got me there. I'm not sure I know what that law says.
It's a tripartite declaration that Kennedy and other countries put that out about in the 60s, where they could not have no weapons in that area. It's called tripartite.
I tell you what, Charles, I'm not familiar with that. Maybe we're out of time right now. Maybe you'll have to call back next week.
Okay.
And if you're able to look up that law and tell me what it is, I'm not familiar with that right now. But nevertheless, to my knowledge, there's no law against having nuclear weapons, although the international community is working towards keeping the spread of nuclear weapons to prevent it to any other nations. And then the big powers have even said they're going to try to disarm themselves of nuclear weapons, and that's a big goal, but it seems like we're not getting there from here. Sorry to have to let you go, Charles, but we're totally out of time. I thank all of you for listening and participating today. Those of you that I did not get to, I do apologize, but it has been a very entertaining and fascinating program today. I hope to you as well as to myself. Let me tell you one more time, it's so important. Red Lion Hotel at the Park tomorrow evening, Spokane, Washington, 6 o'clock. Plan to be there. If you're not yet a partner with End Time Ministries, I'd like to invite you on board. I'm telling you, we live in the most prolific time of prophetic fulfillment ever. And we need to reach this world with the message because the end time is now. So if you'd like to be a partner, call us. Pick up the phone right now. Don't put it off. 800 End Times the number. Our operators are waiting to hear from you. God bless you all. I'll see you Monday.
Politics and Religion is a production of End Time Ministries. It is a daily one-hour broadcast dedicated to bringing you the prophetic fulfillments happening on a daily basis.
If you would like to listen to archive shows, subscribe to End Time Magazine, find a prophecy conference in your area, order End Time resources, watch our TV show, or subscribe to our free weekly e-news, call 1-800-END-TIME or go to endtime.com and take advantage of what our site has to offer.
Connect to End Time Ministries by partnering with us and help this message make a global impact.
End Time Ministries is partner supported. We would like to say thank you to all of our loyal partners, listeners, and friends for helping make Politics and Religion and End Time Ministries possible.